Hi, welcome to the Way to Eternal Life podcast with John Gill. Prepare your hearts and minds and be inspired as we open the Word of God today with you. Now, here is John Gill. Greetings in the name of the Lord. Welcome to today's podcast. I am your host, John Gill. Let us start out with a word of prayer. Our Father, our God, Lord, we humble our hearts today, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us, Lord. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you have blessed today's podcast, Lord God, Lord, and let it be glorifying to you. Anoint the word, Lord God, Lord, and anoint the singing, Lord God, Lord. Every face, Lord God, Lord, for your glory, Lord God, Lord. We bind and rebuke the devil, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And Lord, whatever's accomplished, Lord, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we thank you so much for tuning into today's podcast. This is the Way to Eternal Life, coming to you over all the major podcast stations. We appreciate you so much for tuning in and listening in on today's podcast. So today we got a very special message for you today. The title of today's message is There is Hope in God. And we pray that this message will be a tremendous blessing for you. And we pray that the special singing and a few testimonies that go along with it will be a tremendous blessing for you. And just so we pray that this message will be a blessing to you. And God bless you as you tune in. Thank you.
God before. Yeah. See, there's a way. I was out there to see. I thought I had it going on. I thought that, you know, just because I had me a fine girl on my side, just because I got a nice girl.
Come on, brother. Come on.
I thought that I was living something for life. But it wasn't until October 2010 that I came knocking at my door and said, "Brother Breela, you think you got it going on, but you ain't got it going on." And it wasn't until he truly showed me. I got a true, genuine, sincere relationship with God, amen. So at this time, we're going to have personal testimonies tonight of those, amen, who gave up the world of sin, amen, and now living a true, genuine life of salvation. So at this time, we're going to have a couple people come up and share their personal testimony of how they got delivered from this wicked world of sin, amen. So at this time, I'm going to ask Brother Jay. Brother Jay, would you mind coming up here, my brother, and to share what God has done for you in your life, my brother?
Blessings. I appreciate being able to be here tonight. It's a blessing to be here. It's truly a blessing. Like many of you, I did not think I would ever find myself in a position like this or here. But many of you come out for, you know, missions. We come out for missions and to praise God, you know, and to do the work of God. And the work of God takes you a lot of different places. It takes you places that you never thought that you'd be. You know, but I thank God for my journey. It's been amazing. A little bit about myself. I always wanted to be a musician. I always wanted to do music. I always wanted to do hip-hop. And I kind of traveled down that road, and that road took me to a lot of partying. It took me to a lot of different things that I ventured into. To be more clear, it took me down a bad route. It took me down a real bad route, but I thought I had it going on. Like Brother Breelove, I thought I had it going on. I was raised in the church. I was raised a proper way, but I checked out probably about the age of 13, I say. Come on. About 13, 12, maybe 12. I was out of there about 12. You know, I was kind of, you know, you get tired of it. You know, if you're raised in the church, you get tired of it. You know, and the devil tells you, go out to the world. You know, there's so much out there for you. Go out there and just explore. You know, just explore. And that's what I wanted to do. I had a real passion for music, and that's what I wanted to do. And so I went out there, and I got lost. I got lost for a long time. And when I mean lost, my values decreased. I would do things I never thought I would do. Growing up, I was real big on, like, drug-free. I was just like, I don't want to smoke cigarettes, you know, I don't want to smoke anything. It's just something that I even won a contest on K105.3 for, like, it was, like, just drug-free, like, home. It was like, yeah, like, I'm going to be drug-free, like, forever. And the devil was like, not out here, you're not. Like, not out here, buddy. Like, not at all out here. This is the drug world. This is what we do out here. And that's what I started doing. I started smoking, I started drinking, I started getting the things that, and the thing about it, I never saw my mother drink, I never saw my father drink, I never saw that. It was something that I just didn't see. And so I started getting into these different activities, and the friends that I chose to hang out with, they did the same things, and I just started kind of going down this road that was very destructive, but I was deceived, and I really couldn't see it. Like many of us, you know, we get deceived by the enemy, and we can't see where it's leading us to. And so that was my story. About the age of 28, I found myself leading. You guys know what Black Lives Matter is? Raise your show of hands, you know? Cool. That's Souls Matter. So, Souls Matter, but. Souls Matter, but. I found myself leading this Black Lives Matter. There's about 523 different protesters down Francis Street, one of the biggest, longest streets in Jackson, Michigan. I found myself like at the head of this thing, and I was going forth, and I'm saying, like, you know, be fair, and just all these different things that I thought that I was, like, you know, voicing, showing my heart, you know, voicing my opinion and standing up for something that I thought was right. And in that crowd, there was a man named Brent Sanders. Whose father recently passed away, bless his soul. But Brent Sanders saw me out in that crowd, and he started praying for me, because what he saw in me was, I believe this, what God saw in me, to be able to be in a place to spread the gospel and to share the word of God and to share his goodness. And he saw that, and he was like, man, as hard as you're going for, you know, this Black Lives Matter, imagine if you went that hard for Christ. And one thing about the prayers of the saints is that God hears them. And so that night, I went to sleep. And normally, this is like a day off. And normally, I would have two bottles of whiskey and two-fifths of whiskey. And I would go to sleep, you know, from there. That night, I was so tired from the Black Lives Matter that I just went to bed. And when I woke up in this place that was unfamiliar to me. And in this place, there was a lot of people. And I didn't know where I was. I kept asking, where am I? You know, but no one was like a, just imagine if you're in this room and like you're asking everyone, you know, you're just like, where am I? You know, but nobody is really like responding to you. You're kind of getting a little irritated. You know, you're like, someone tell me where am I? I know I'm not, you know, where I was, but I'm in this place. It was a very large place, and there were different things in the backdrops of what seemed like mountains and just dark mountains. So just a really eerie vibe, and it was it started daunting on me that slowly daunting on me that I wasn't here. There were things that information that was given to me, like knowledge that was given to me that I wasn't leaving. You know, it was a knowing. I think that was one of the worst parts of it. It was a knowing, and unbeknownst to myself, what was happening is God was showing me a vision of what I believe to be hell. And he was showing me this place. And in this place, it was there was a lack of life. There was a lack of natural abilities to just, I guess, relate to another human being. So a lot of things we take for granted, like the fact that we can draw pictures, like even just stick figures, you know, little things like that. Those are all attributes of God. Those are all attributes of the Father. Those are all attributes of the Creator. And those things were kind of taken from me. They weren't, I didn't have that anymore. You know, and in this place, it's not like you can just walk up to, you know, somebody and be like, hey, like, yeah, you're in here too? Like, oh, man, like, and then talk about, like, the good times. And remember we went to Super Bowl Sunday at the shelter, and we were going in church, and they were singing, and it was so, it wasn't like, none of that was there. It was like, all of me and my shame and my pain and all of that was there. And I wanted to leave. I wanted to leave this place, but I couldn't leave. And I was a lucid dreamer. And so to me, it was, I'm just having another lucid dream. You know what I mean? I'm just having another lucid dream. But I couldn't leave. But in the lucid dream, you know, you kind of wake yourself up. You know, you kind of just get up, you know, but I could not leave. And that's the reality that many people are waking up to tomorrow. You know, some are waking up to it tonight. You know, and those are the realities, and that's the reality that I was faced with. And it was such a horrible thing. I saw a terrible thing, just terrible, as if a wave, like picture the water. Like the water, if you look out to the ocean, just the water. And the waves of the water, that's how many people it was there. It was just waves and just waves of people. And they were just all in this like torturous knowing thing. So the thing about God's judgment, one thing that I want to make a point on in this place, when you choose to the knowledge, right, the knowledge of good and evil, when you choose to do away with good, and you choose to continue in an evil path, in a wrong way, God judges you, but it's not like how a person can judge you. It's not like, because a person doesn't know everything in there. Person doesn't know everything that's in that heart. A person doesn't know that. God's judgment is not like that. It's power. Every said, he's, the word of God says, a man who looks himself in the mirror is like a man. If you have like a stain on your shirt, you know, some of us, it's like you might have a stain on your shirt, and you look in the mirror, you might be going to like a dinner or something. Oh, there's a stain there. Let me switch up my shirt. And then you switch up that shirt and the stain's gone. But that's the same with the Spirit of God is with your soul. And so when he judges you, it's spot on. He knows exactly where the stain is. He knows exactly how many times he told you to get rid of it. He knows exactly how many times he dealt with you about it. Exactly. And so when that judgment comes, it's spot on. In this place I was at, I wanted to defend myself. I wanted to be like, you know, like, no, because you bring me in this neighborhood, and you, this was my life, and this is what my mom did, this is what my dad did, and this is what my grandpa did. And we, like, I wanted to defend myself, but you could not defend yourself because this judgment is spot on. That's why when they say that the devils, they blaspheme God, they have to blaspheme because there's nothing else for them to really say of him. If it's red, they have to say it's blue. They have to say it's blue because the judgment is spot on. And I found myself, and I say that point to say that that was one of the most horrifying feelings, being there, the knowing that I had an option, the knowing that I had a choice to do right, the knowing that I could have did something different in this life, the knowing that I kept picking up those black miles, the knowing that I kept picking up that liquor, the knowing that I kept lying, the knowing that I kept stealing, the knowing that I kept doing these things when I knew I had another option. That was one of the biggest things that I remember being there. That was one of the most horrible feelings ever. And I remember toward the end of my kind of journey through this horrible place, there was this darkness that began to I was just becoming as the people who were already there. And it's another thing. They all knew that they were there. They knew where I was, but the communication, like how we can just speak like this, that was not there. That was not there. There was a communication. The only communication that we had was that we all knew that we were here, why we were here, and who got us here, which is not necessarily God. It's actually ourselves, you know, off of the decision that we made. It's perfect judgment. And so toward the end of this journey, I just started sinking into this, like, it was just like this blackness. It just felt like pure just blackness. And so I started sinking, and I was becoming as the people who were in this place. It was like all of the things that God, like, holds back from you, all of the spirits, he talks about Pharaoh. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. It's like Pharaoh was trying to go a million miles per hour this way. God was only letting him do 100. Then he wanted to go 200. God was only letting him go, he wanted to go 2 million. God was only letting him do 200. But then he said, you know what? If this is what you want to do, okay. When God removes himself, depart from him, remove yourself, it's full speed. So everything that you really are, everything that you really have in there, all that hate that you just won't let go of in this life, all that unforgiveness that you just won't stop doing, all of that is at full effect. And you're feeling the full effect of that in this place. And toward the end, that's what was happening to me. And the last thing I said, I have a daughter, she's 7 years old. And the last thing I said, I'll never be able to save my daughter. I will never be able to save her from the world. I knew what the world was. I knew how ugly the world was. I knew how quick it could grab you and snatch you. And I told myself, I said, man, I messed up. I said, I'm done. At that point, the reality that I was gone was there. The reality that I was not, I won't experience life anymore was there. And I said, God, I'll never be able to save my daughter. And in that moment, in that instant, it was like I woke up, and when I woke up, I woke up, like, pushing myself, like, off the couch. And let me tell you, I was so scared. Listen, I was so scared. I ran outside. I'm like, man, I'm thinking I'm about to see how I die. I'm like, this place was so real. This experience was so real. I'm thinking, like, I'm about to see how I die. Like, this is like oh, my gosh, this is, like, torture. Because I'm experiencing this like, torment. And it's like a deep torment. It's not like, it ain't no game. And I'm like, man. So I ran outside and I'm like, man, let me see if there's any life. Like, any life. And it's funny. I knew how valuable life was. Right? That's funny. I knew how valuable life was. I ran outside. I'm like, let me see if there's any life out here. I go outside. Of course, there's nobody around. I'm like, oh, my God. Dead. And, like, then a car passes. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, thank God. Somebody got something. Because you ain't got none of that. That's a joy. And I'm just telling you, that's a joy. Just to see somebody, I'll drive the car, walk it. Those are small little joys in this life, believe it or not. Because if you don't go to heaven, you go somewhere else, and it ain't there. It ain't there. So I'm just letting you know, it ain't there. It's that precious. Life is that precious. And I said, oh, thank God, somebody driving. For 3 days, I pondered on the situation. I'm a diabetic, and I got upset. I was very, very mad at God. I was like, I'm diabetic. I'm not the rap star that I wanted to be. I was like, this is just like, God, why would you do that to me? Like, why would you put this horrible experience on top of everything I'm already going through? And the devil wanted me to think that God hated me. Like, that's exactly what he wanted me to think, that God hated me because of the situations that I was in. And I was like, you know, I was dealing with this, and I went to my mother, and I was talking to her, and I kind of just started breaking down, telling her, I told myself I was going to tell nobody about this vision. And I went to my mom, and she said, God loves you. She said, that's why God will take you through so much. That's why God will put you through so much. Because he loves you and he's trying to get to you. And that really broke my heart down. And if you're not saved tonight, if you have doubts about God tonight, if you have doubts in your mind, I want to encourage you to fear not, have no fear. God does love you and he does want to change your life around. You just have to step out on faith, trust him, pray. Appreciate you. Thank you.
We're going to bypass the last testimony because we want to be respectful for those who will be speaking. So I'm going to ask you to please I'm going to ask our brother Jacob, can you please come pray for our speakers, please? Thank you.
Our Father, God, we just thank you for the day, God, we're kind of a privilege to be able to go out and share the gospel, God. We thank you for the testimony. We thank you for the scripture that says deliverance and Zion, God. So, God, the Bible says, come unto me, all you have been burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we just want you right now, while we're praying right now, we want you to increase the faith in this crowd tonight, God. Send us in our life, God. And thank you for our purpose. The Bible says your word will not turn to us void, dear God. The Bible says, I plant, Apollos water. But God, you give the increase, dear God. So help us just impart something, whatever we got down in our souls, help us to impart something unto this crowd, dear God. Somebody ready to pardon the sin, to break down the heart, to walk through the aisles, dear God. Sit and listen to your people, dear God. Bless the speaker, anoint you fresh from heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Open our minds, enlighten minds, you God. Open our understanding, and just give them a word from heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's receive Sister Tasha by saying amen.
Amen.
Good evening, everyone. Grateful to be here. So we come here quite often, monthly on the women's side, and now we just got back after the pandemic. We've been on a break for quite a while there was the pandemic, so we're grateful to be here tonight, and we just have some brief words, and we pray that it's going to be a blessing for you. I know time is limited, and we want to be respectful of that as well. So to start us off, we are going to go to Psalm 146. If you want to follow along in the Bible, thank God for my salvation. I've been saved for over 16 years. We thank God that he is able to save and keep. He is a great God, and we are grateful to be saved tonight and be in this position to share his word. So we want to go to Psalm 146, and we have to bear with me. Usually I have someone help me, but we don't have another mic, so I'm going to read as well. And we're going to read Psalm 146. We're going to read verses 2-5. Okay? And it looks like most people are there. If you don't have it, maybe you can share with someone else. It reads, "While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." And I just want to briefly go over the verses. It says, put not your trust in princes. nor in the Son of Man. And in the U.S., we don't really have princes per se. We don't have royalty like in England and in different countries. But a lot of people may be putting their trust in what we call princes in the U.S. Maybe you got your trust in Joe Biden tonight. Maybe you think he's going to change some things for you. Maybe you're thinking Donald Trump going to get back in office and do some things for you. Maybe a rich cousin. Maybe somebody in the government, a mayor. Maybe a governor, Governor Whitmer. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you that that's not where you should be putting your trust in. Because these men will die. They are not eternal. They are not all powerful. They are limited and finite in what they have and what they have to offer you. So this is why the author, and I believe maybe this was David, doesn't say, per se in my Bible, it says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And so I want to lift my thought from that verse, the thought I have tonight, there is hope in God. Right? There is hope in God. And hope, sometimes we say that as cliche, but hope is that fuel when you are in hopeless situations, situations that are despairing, they're challenging situations. Everybody in this room is going to have a challenge. You're going to face something that you're going to say, Lord, there's no hope for me. And I don't know how to get out. I tried all my resources. I tried everything I could do. But hope is the fuel that says, I can get something good. Something good is going to happen. It's a confidence in a future event that's going to happen. My situation is not going to be always. It's not going to always be like what it is today. Okay? So that's our thought tonight. There is hope in God. And what I'm going to do for just a brief moment, I have just a brief few minutes, I'm going to take you to a story in the Bible where a woman had a hopeless situation. And I believe she was a woman, but I believe it could go to woman or man. It does not matter that she was a woman. It doesn't matter that it was hundreds of years ago. This situation would still apply to anyone in this audience. So we're going to go to Mark, the book of Mark, and we're going to go to verses 25 through 29. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 29. All right. And it reads, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, an issue of blood, if you never read this story, that means she was bleeding out. Okay? She was bleeding out. She had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. Yes. And had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Yes. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment.
Yes.
For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague.
Yes.
So what I want to go back to is, like I said, this woman is still relatable. She had an issue of blood. Now, you may not be bleeding out tonight, literally. You may not have a physical condition. But there are issues, like I said, of life that you have tonight.
Yes.
That you cannot solve. And one main thing that you can't solve is you can't solve sin.
Yes.
You can't solve, it doesn't matter how many rehabs you go to.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how many therapists you get.
Come on, man.
It does not matter if you try with self-will and self-determination.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what man you have, what woman you have, what house you have, what car you have, how many hours of money.
Come on, come on.
There are some issues that you will never be able to fix, and sin is one of them. Okay? And she tried everything. She, or at least to her mind, I tried everything. I got to many doctors. I spent my money. And I'm still like this 12. That's a lot.
Yes.
That's a lot. That's something that will maybe break your mind and say, this is hopeless. I have no hope. So what made her think that going to this man was going to change anything? Well, it says here, it says, she heard of Jesus.
Amen.
And just like you're hearing tonight, you've heard a testimony, you've heard a song that talked about Jesus. And maybe even before you even got in this room, somebody told you about this man. Somebody, you see something in somebody and say, something. How did they change? How did they get out of this situation? But that hearing, it started working with her hope. It started working with her faith. And then she said, wait a minute. I do not have to stay here.
Yeah.
I don't have to stay in the condition that I'm in.
Yeah.
She said, wait a minute. Okay, now if I press past this crowd, now, and I'm going to go back. In these times, and if you go back to Leviticus, if you had an issue of blood, if you were to touch somebody, it was, you're unclean, you're nasty. That wasn't something that no one wanted to be around. A person that was clean, it was considered, their term was unclean. You are unclean. You are an outcast. You are somebody nobody wants to touch or be around. And sometimes, if you are going to get your blessing, you got to press past what people think of you.
Yeah.
How they make you look down on you. You got to push past the shame of how you got in this situation. You may feel guilty. You may feel, I didn't have my plans to be here. I didn't have any dreams of being in this position. All I really was to have maybe a good life. I was in that position when I got saved. I didn't want to do what I was doing. I tried through my own self-will. I don't want to be here. But somehow I was there. And it was like, to walk up to an altar seems like that is too much. But she said, I have to press past this. I have to fight for my blessing. Whatever it takes, I gotta fight for. If you're gonna give it tonight, you are going to have to press past whatever phone you get tonight. It could be your family. You can be what people think. It could be your unbelief. Maybe you don't feel like God. You're worthy of being saved tonight. You're not worthy of God's blessing. But if you are going to have a hope in God, you're going to have to press for it tonight. And that's my message tonight. I know that some of you, maybe the first time you're at the Church of God, but God has a blessing. This is the gospel story. He sent his son for your sin, for you to be delivered from your sin. And not just your sin. If you have healing tonight that you need, that is what he died for. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall deliver his people from his sins. I'm making myself a little bit, but that is the gist of the scripture.
Yeah.
Okay? So, there is a healing, and if you are willing to confess your sin, it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. If you are willing to press past it tonight, you can have your blessing. You can be delivered from it. You can have your healing. You do not have to say it. So that's my point.
Yes, yes.
This is the hope that you have now. If you press past it, you will be delivered.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Truly appreciate it.
appreciate that burden that Sister Tasha just laid on us, amen. I thank God for that hope tonight, amen. Amen. I'm pretty sure all of us can thank God for that hope, amen. Because if it wasn't for that hope, we wouldn't be here tonight, amen. Amen. So we truly appreciate that burden, Sister Tasha. That was truly a blessing. Yes. So now at this time, we're going to transition to our next speaker. At this time, we're going to call Brother John Gill come up as he comes up and he will close us all, amen.
I'd like to say good evening to everyone here. The service has been a blessing thus far. We appreciate everybody being here tonight. And we're going to actually piggyback on tonight's burden. And this is going to be part two. So thank God there's hope in God. Part two. Praise God. There ain't no hope in the dope. There ain't no hope in Beyonce. There ain't no hope in heroin. There's no hope in the beer. There's no hope in anything that you could ever think of. There's hope in Jesus. And as I was actually thinking about this and contemplating this, and I was so burdened for this and for tonight, and that this scripture came to my mind, and I want to say this to everybody in here. That not only that there is hope, but there's healing, and the mender is here. Amen. The mender is here. There's healing tonight, emotional healing, not just physical healing, but emotional healing, mental healing. Any healing you can think of is here for you tonight. The inspiration's already been here. All you got to do is just receive it.
Amen.
Brother Jay, my reader tonight, my thought will come from our closing scripture tonight will be coming from Luke chapter 8. I ask the saints of God to pray for me as I deliver this brief exhortation. Because let me tell you something, the devil's real, folks. The devil will take any thought away from us, but I'm here to rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. If folks can stand out here and rap, all right, cuss, everything else, and be big enough and bold enough to do it, I'm bold enough for Jesus Christ. Yeah. Jesus done so much for me that he cleaned my life up, turned my life around, and that same Jesus that we've been talking about all this time is here for you today. If you're thinking about committing suicide, there's healing for you tonight. There's hope for you tonight. Luke chapter 8, verse number 27, and then we'll read down. I'll let you know when to stop. Go ahead.
And when he went forth,
yes,
to land,
yes,
there met him out of the city a certain man.
A certain man. Come on.
Which had devils long time.
Yes.
And wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs.
Yes.
When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down.
All right, hold that right there. When he saw his hope,
my Lord,
he fell down. How many right now you're seeing hope tonight? All of us were not all like this at one time. Come on now. We weren't all like this. We may look pretty right now, but once upon a time, but the Bible says such were some of us. So such were some of us. Some of us were thinking about committing suicide and whatnot, what have you. But when they saw Jesus afar off, he cried. He cried, probably no doubt when he saw him, he just screamed out, said, Jesus, help me! Go ahead.
And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him.
Yes.
And with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man.
Mm-hmm.
For oft times it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters.
That's what sin does. Yes. It bounds you up. If I had a rope right now, and everybody bound me up, it's hard to get free. That's what Jesus came for, is to free me from whatever it is that I'm bound by. There's deliverance here tonight. It's more than just being saved.
lot of times we just use that word save, but there's also, Jesus also not only saves, but he also delivers.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Bound with chains.
Bound with chains. Okay, well, what chains are they talking about? Anything that you can think of that you're bound by. It could be liquor. It could be anything. Don't matter what it is.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And he break the bands.
Yes.
And was driven of the devil into the wilderness.
That's what the devil does. When you're not saved, you're not in your right mind. Right now, you may think that you got continence and sense and everything else, but let me tell you something. When you don't have God in your life, you're not in your right mind. And when God saves you and cleans you up, God puts your mind right.
Amen.
And then it says that he caused you to walk in his statutes.
Yeah.
You don't talk the way you used to talk. You don't walk the way you used to walk. Your life has changed. Go ahead.
And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?"
Now, I'm going to break this down just briefly because my time is limited. But what that's talking about is denoting his condition.
Yeah.
He was asking him the question, "What is your condition?" I'm asking you tonight, with help of the Lord, what is your condition?
My God.
See, you can't get help until you acknowledge what the issue really is. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for helping me preach. Praise God. But right, and then what did he say after that?
And he said, "Legion."
Mm-hmm.
Because many devils were entered into him.
Go ahead.
And they besought him that he would not command them to go out with the demon.
Yes.
And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain.
Yes.
And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them.
Yes.
Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake.
Yes.
And were choked. When they that fed saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus.
Yes.
And found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Clothed.
And in his right mind.
And in his right, it didn't say his wrong mind. It said his right mind. He was clothed. He's now together. Now he got a job. He's saved now.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something, folks. The devil took so many things from all of us.
Amen.
At one time.
Amen.
And one of the things that he takes, that's why the Bible says that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
So part of what he steals is our dreams.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Our ambitions. He takes away our families.
Yes.
He takes away our homes.
Yes.
He takes away anything that you could possibly could think of. That's what he does.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But let me tell you something. We're going to ruffle up some feathers right now. Because let me tell you something. We're invading the territory right now. And we're taking back what the devil stole.
Amen.
From us.
Amen.
We're taking back our community, what the devil stole from us.
Amen.
We're taking back our family, what the devil stole from us.
Amen.
We're taking back our school, what the devil stole from us.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Amen.
That's why there's hope tonight.
Amen.
There is hope. There's deliverance. All you gotta do is just come and get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't hesitate.
Yeah.
Don't try to, because sometimes the devil likes to keep you glued to your seat, saying, "No, I don't want to get up there. No, I don't want nobody to know that I need help." Yeah, you do need help.
Yeah.
And God said, "I'm here for you.
Yeah.
I want to heal you.
Yeah.
I want to deliver you."
Yeah.
But all he's saying, all he's asking right now is that, will you willingly to come?
Yeah.
Don't hesitate, because this could be your last time.
Yeah.
That's why we're coming here tonight.
God.
You don't have to wait till I'm through preaching or whatever else. You can get healing tonight.
Yeah.
You can get your deliverance tonight.
Yeah.
That's why there's hope in God.
Yeah.
Don't wait. Yeah. Don't hesitate. But let me tell you something. Devil ain't through. And since the devil ain't through, God ain't through.
Amen.
God has an assignment for you, folks. He wants us to take back our community.
That's true, brother. That's true.
There's too many things that's been going on, all this gun violence and everything else. Let's put the guns down and let's trade it for Jesus.
All right.
Let's stop all the fighting and let's come to Jesus. Let's stop all the hate and come to Jesus. There's hope for you tonight. If there was hope for this man that was bound up by so many demons. And let me tell you something, a lot of us had so many demons that were in us that we needed God to come and take it all away.
Preach, brother.
I tell you one thing, I'm so glad that God saved me when he did.
Thank God.
And I'm so glad that, because we sing a song, I'm so glad I counted the cost.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something, the song port says there is a fountain filled with blood that's flowing from Emmanuel's vein. And sinner plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilt and stain. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. Let us stand at this time. We hope to, Lord willing, see you next time as we open the Word of God with you once again on your favorite podcast station. And always remember, Jesus is the way to eternal life. May God bless you. The altar call was by Brother Tim Ellis, but I want to say this to you all, that if you're not saved, come to God before the everlasting too late. Don't push it off. While the hope and the inspiration is here for you tonight, don't brush it off, don't push it off, but come to God before the everlasting too late. Hi, Brother Tim. There's healing for you tonight. Brother John,
all right. Heard the song.
Yeah.
Heard the words.
Yeah.
It's a shame you don't have enough time, but the Bible says, "One water, another plant."
Yeah.
It's God to give an increase.
Yeah.
So what having been said, we're praying that your hearts are honest enough that you allow God
yes,
to your heart. We're opening up this for altar call that those of you that see the need of God changing your life.
Yes.
Let me make this clear. We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about church. We're talking about being a relationship with Jesus Christ. The only one that's going to be able to change your circumstances and situations. This is personal now. We ain't talking about the girlfriend, the boyfriend. We ain't talking about mom and daddy, the way they go to church. We talking about personal invitation for you to get a hold of God. He's here. He's here. Deliverance. I know there's, if I had time to tell my testimony, I've been homeless for 4 years of it before I went to the penitentiary for the third time. Drugs, alcohol, all of that, womanizing, did it all. But the devil done took this thing on another level now. He's getting young people full of drugs and vaping and all the rest of this stuff. You don't have to do that. You've got choices to make.
Yes.
You got a choice to make tonight.
Amen.
You got a choice to make tonight. What is going to be your choice? Are you going to reject Jesus again? Or are you going to accept him into your heart?
Yes.
Only person going to do that is somebody that's honest. That really wants to change and be an example, even for him.
You can be the example for here. He's here. Anybody want special prayer? Anybody want to be saved? You can come up and stand up here.
Happy way, God. Come on. Happy way, Lord.
Amen. Happy
way, Lord. Happy way, God. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? May I push y'all, but the invitation is over, and you're making a critical decision right now. If God is dealing with your heart, it's time to give the Lord your mind, body, and soul. He'll work it out. All the issues that you got going on, he'll work it out. 27 years I was drugs and alcohol, in and out of jail. 27 years. I've been saved 22 years. This year will be 23. God's people. Never went back to the world. Never went back to sin. Ain't picked up a cigarette, a beer, nothing. Ain't touched another one. God gave me back my wife after 13 years of divorce. You can't tell me what God can do. Amen. Do you want some of that? Do you want some of that? Some of y'all need to put that together all over here. You need to get back on the title screen. You need to get back on the title screen. You let God renew you. Amen. Anybody else? Our precious Heavenly Father, we come before you as our Lord, these precious souls, Lord God, you sent us to witness to. Lord God, you know who you're dealing with. You know who's on the knowledge of their own soul. Lord, you bless them and help them. Guide us, direct them, and the rest of them, Father. We're going to pray for them. Amen. We're going to leave them out there, Father. Because you want to help them. Lord, all the hearts, Lord God, you want to get broken. You want to come in. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I want you to bless us, God, as we leave this place to pass the presence. I want you to help them, Lord God, to see that in you. Just give them something. They need to give you something to work with. Just a little bit. And you will pull it from there and turn your life around. This is no joke. This is no fantasy. This is real. We thank you, Lord God, to give us the opportunity to express what you have done for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. So be blessed and have your way. In Jesus' name. Everybody say,
amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord.
Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. Check out our website at www.waytoeternallife.net. Also, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at jgill@waytoeternallife.net. Once again, that's jgill@waytoeternallife.net. Or for prayer or wanting to be saved, phone or text message us at area code 269-888-3255. As we bring this podcast episode to a close, we would like to leave these closing thoughts with you. Here is John Gill with the final thoughts.